If, therefore, a disembodied spirit wants to grasp the same material object, it must first materialize its own spirit hand by condensing the terrestrial odd at its disposal. There is no other way to do it. The materialization need not, of course, be as strong as that of your physical hand. It need not even be strong enough for the spirit hand to be visible to your physical eyes, but still strong enough to grasp the object. If the available odd is insufficient to effect such a condensation, the foreign spirit will be no more able to grasp the material object than you if your arms and hands had been chopped off. It is true, however, that a spirit can grasp and move a material object without materializing its spirit hand, provided that it previously dissolves the object into odd, for matter that has been converted into odd, and hence, etherealized, is directly accessible to a disembodied spirit. Unless such dissolution has taken place, a material object can be grasped by a disembodied spirit only if its spirit hand has undergone materialization, for only like can grasp like. There are many degrees of odic condensation or materialization, from that visible only to a clairvoyant eye to the complete materialization of spirits, in which case they differ in no respect from a material body. The 83. Degree of condensation is thus dependent upon the amount of odd available to the spirit world for its purposes. Let me cite a few more examples. Your own spirit wants to speak so that your fellow men may hear what you say with their corporeal ears. What must it do? It must make use of your body's material organs of speech. Without them it will not succeed. And when a spirit wants to speak, having no body and, consequently, no organs of speech, what must it do to produce sounds intelligible to human ears? It has two ways of doing this. One way is to materialize its own spirit organs of speech by condensing them with the aid of terrestrial odd. The other way is to condense the spirit sounds by means of the mediums available odd to such an extent that they become audible to human ears. In the latter case, therefore, the spirit does not need materialized organs of speech, but merely the condensed odd of the sounds. You describe this method of speech by spirits as direct voices, which can be heard with more or less volume, according to the greater or lesser amount of odic force supplied to the spirits by the mediums for the purpose of condensing the odic sound. You are visible to your fellow creatures because you have a material body. Your material body, however, is only the material shell of your spirit with all of its organs, for every organ found in your body has its counterpart in a spiritual state in your spirit. If, therefore, a disembodied spirit wants to appear to terrestrial eyes in such a way that it will be taken for a terrestrial being, it must clothe its spirit form with all of its spiritual organs in a shell of matter, which it produces by means of the condensation of terrestrial odd. In the case of a spirit so materialized, the human eye can discover nothing to distinguish it from a normal person. This spirit has skin and bones, all external organs, fingernails, hair and teeth, as well as all inner organs, like a heart that beats, blood that circulates, and whatever else is present in any normal, flesh and blood human being. A complete materialization of this kind requires so much odd that no one medium is capable of supplying it. In such cases, therefore, part of the substance of the medium's corporeal body must be dissolved as well and used for materializing the spirit. For this reason, a medium loses quite a bit of body weight in materializations of this nature. The medium gets it all back, however, after the materialization has come to an end. I am surprised that your scholars who conduct so many experiments in this field do not discover these facts for themselves, for surely they witness phenomena enough to point them in the right direction. They see materialized hands grasping and moving objects. They hear direct voices, and simultaneously they often see the cloudlet of odd out of which these 84 voices are heard. When they photograph some of these phenomena, they sometimes find upon the plate something that looks like a larynx, formed by the spirit by means of the materialization of odd, in order to provide it with a voice. When investigating complete materializations, they find everything that is present in a normal human being, and yet they cannot hit upon the track of the truth. The greatest obstacle in the way of recognizing the truth is the erroneous conception of the terms spirit and matter. Once the fact is recognized that the essence of spirit creation is the same as that of material creation, and that they differ only in the nature of their being, most of the difficulties that now prevent a proper understanding of spirit communication with the material world will disappear of their own accord. One will then recognize that created spirits possess the same organism in spirit form that terrestrial beings possess in material form, that the body has been cast over the shape of the spirit, and, hence, that nothing can be contained in the material cast that is not also present in the spirit shape. One will also understand that the beyond resembles the here in every way, with the sole difference that in the here all things are material, and in the beyond all things are spiritual. But all life, in both the material world and in the world of spirit, is bound up with the odic force. This is the most powerful force in creation, and it is the force by means of which God, who is the source of this force, can overturn all things. It is the means by which he and his spirit world perform the greatest miracles, as you call them. It is the force that enables the magician to perform superhuman feats, inasmuch as his own odic powers can be increased by the spirit world, either by the good or the evil spirit world, depending upon which of the two he enters into contact with. In the case of the evil spirits, the demons that have severed their relations with God, this power has very definite limits, whereas God's spirits can make use of it in immeasurable strength. It was with this force that Christ healed the sick and raised the dead. With this force he also cast out the evil spirits from those possessed of them, and with the help of this same force the good spirits enabled Christ to walk on water. This same force was used by the good spirit world under Christ's command to bring about the miraculous multiplication of the loaves at his behest, by means of the materialization of the bread that had been brought there as odd. Christ promised this same power to all who would believe in him. And for those who believe, these miracles will follow. They will cast out 85 evil spirits in my name, they will talk in foreign tongues, they will handle serpents, and if they drink something poisonous, it will not harm them, they will lay hands on the sick, and make them well. They, the 11 remaining apostles, however, went out, and preached everywhere, the Lord was with them with his power, and confirmed their word through the miracles that accompanied it. Mark 16:17-20, for a belief in God that is not only a belief in his existence, but an unshakable faith in him and faithful obedience to his will brings a person into the closest union with God, who is the infinite source of power. Such belief will also place God's spirit world at the service of that person, and his faith will render him capable of all things. Everything is possible for one who believes. Mark 9:23. Every true believer in God will therefore experience those things that were fulfilled in Christ, namely, if we do as God wills, God will also do what we want. 86. Biblical references to the use of odic force in spirit communication. And the Lord came down in the cloud of Od, and spoke to him. Numbers 11:25. Nature's laws apply universally. They admit of no exception. If, therefore, the law of odic force that I have described to you is the basic law of all spirit communication, then it must apply wherever spirits communicate with man. In order to show you that the odic power current was necessary also in the spirit communication with humans reported in the Bible, I want to go over some of the accounts in the Old and New Testaments with you, and explain them to you. Naturally, for most of the spirit manifestations of which the Bible speaks, mention is made only of the fact of such communication, nothing is said about the accompanying phenomena. Nevertheless, there are plenty of instances in which the employment of Od is expressly mentioned. The first mention occurs in the story of Abraham. When the sun had gone down, and it had turned completely dark, what passed between those pieces of meat was like a smoking furnace and a blazing torch. Genesis 15:17. This happened while the Lord was speaking with Abraham. The odic current, when only slightly condensed, looks like a cloud of smoke and has a reddish-yellow gleam in the dark, like a flame of fire. The story of Moses is full of relevant examples. and the angel of the Lord appeared to him as a flame of fire leaping up from a thorn bush. When he looked, he saw the thorn bush ablaze with fire, yet not being consumed by it. Exodus 3, 2. In this case also it was odd that the Spirit employed in order to speak to Moses. It had to have been night when Moses saw this apparition, for in the daytime, the odd would have looked, not like a flame, but like a cloudlet enfolding the thorn bush. This is confirmed by the following biblical account. The Lord went before them, in a column of cloud by day, to show them the way, and in a column of fire by night, to shine for them, so that they might travel both by day and by night. Neither the column of cloud by day nor the column of fire by night ever left its place in front of the people. Exodus 13, 21-22. The column of cloud was nothing else than the cloud of God, which, both in the case of the thorn bush and in guiding the Israelites, formed the odic shell that surrounded the angel of the Lord and that the angel needed to make itself perceptible to man. I have already explained to you that odd is always associated with a spirit. 87. There is no such thing as independent, free-floating odd. Thus it was in all manifestations witnessed by the people of Israel. Hence, whenever mention is made in the Old Testament of the column of cloud, it is always in connection with some activity on the part of one of God's spirits. Then the angel of God who had traveled in front of the army of Israel up to this point shifted position and moved to their rear. Consequently, the column of cloud moved from before them to behind them. Exodus 14, 19. As soon as Moses entered the tent, the column of cloud would come down and stand at the entrance of the tent, as long as the Lord was speaking to Moses. Exodus 33, 9. Then Moses called together 70 men from among the elders of the people, and had them stand all around the tent. And the Lord came down in a cloud, and spoke to him. Numbers 11, 24, 25. On Mount Sinai, when the Lord wanted to speak with Moses in tones loud enough for all the people to hear, he said to Moses, "This time I will make the cloud thicker yet, so that all the people may hear me speaking to you and believe you forever." Exodus 19, 9. This indicates expressly that the cloud of God was necessary to enable the Lord to speak to man. It also indicates plainly that the denser the odd, the louder the sounds produced by means of the odic force. Much the same is true of your radio. The stronger the power current, the stronger the sound transmitted. When, therefore, the Lord appeared upon Mount Sinai amid a mighty blare of trumpets, the odic force had to be correspondingly strong. Hence we are told, "And the Mount of Sinai was completely wrapped in smoke, as the Lord had descended upon it in fire, the smoke rose like smoke from a smeltant furnace, and the whole mountain quaked, and the sound of the trumpets became louder and louder." Moses spoke and the Lord answered him in a loud voice. Exodus 19, 18-19. While explaining the law of odic force, I pointed out that the condensation of odd is produced with the aid of powerful currents. The same is true of the dissolution of condensed odd. The great masses of odd around Mount Sinai were also condensed by such high voltage currents. It was therefore very dangerous to venture within the field of these high voltage currents. Hence the Lord forbade the people to approach the mountain. Everyone, human or beast, who ignored the commandment, would surely die. Exodus 19, 12. This was not an empty threat to instill a fear of God in the people, as you mortals believe. It was rather a justified warning of the lethal danger that naturally and necessarily accompanied any contact with those currents. Just as you call attention to the lethal danger from contact. 88. With your terrestrial high voltage currents by erecting warning signs, so the warning issued to the people of Israel was given for a similar purpose. Only after these currents had been turned off were the people to be allowed to ascend the mountain. The Lord announced when this would be with the following words, "Only when the ram's horn is sounded, then may they come up to the mountain." Exodus 19, 13. Only those whom the Lord had authorized to enter the odic currents, namely Moses and Aaron, could do so before that without danger to their lives. In their case, insulation not unlike the kind you use for persons who need to be exposed to high voltages had been provided. And when the Lord commanded further that people or animals should be killed for even attempting to come near the smoking mountain, this was not meant as a punishment for disobedience, since obviously in the case of animals the question of sinning could scarcely arise. This commandment was rather a measure for preventing any interruption of the power currents at all costs. Such an interruption would have resulted, had any material beings come into contact with the odic currents without authorization, that is to say, without being provided with proper means of insulation. This explanation of the events recorded in the Bible surprises you. The events may strike you as too mundane and material. But it is the truth, and it furnishes you with fresh proof of the universal validity of God-given laws, to which even the Creator Himself submits in His dealings with matter. He suspends not a single law, or, as the Holy Writ expresses it, "I know that whatever God has ordained has eternal validity." Ecclesiastes 3:14. After this explanation you will also understand why Christ, immediately after His resurrection, forbade Mary Magdalene to touch Him. The materialization of His Spirit was then only beginning, and Mary Magdalene, by touching Him, would not only have prevented any further progress of the process of materialization, but would have destroyed what had already taken effect. The explanation given in the Bible as the reason for Christ's refusal to let her touch Him was added later by an ignorant copyist who inserted the words, "I have not yet ascended to the Father," John 20:17, that this could not have been the true reason for refusing to let Mary Magdalene touch His materialized odic body is evident from the fact that, somewhat later, Christ expressly invited His apostles to touch Him, although at the time He had also not yet ascended to the Father. But the materialization of His body was then complete, and therefore any contact with Him could not cause bodily harm to His disciples or interfere with the materialization. 89. Let us take a few more examples from the New Testament. In the Transfiguration on Mount Tabor, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and a voice called from inside the cloud. Matthew 17:5. Thus, the cloud of God was necessary here also, in order to produce a voice that could be heard by human ears. The same cloud was used by Moses and Elijah to make themselves visible in bodies of condensed God to the three apostles present. It was in a figure of materialized God that Christ appeared after His resurrection and in which He stood before His disciples on Ascension Day. They saw His odic body dissolve into a cloud of God before their eyes, and when the cloud itself had become invisible by further dissolution, Christ had disappeared from their sight. The general belief that it was an ordinary cloud in the sky that hid Christ from His disciples is utterly wrong. At Pentecost there appeared above the heads of the apostles and of those who were with them tongues of fire. These were little flames of God, like the flames seen in the thorn bush, that came to rest on the head of each. Each one received a spirit of God in such a shoal of God. These spirits, with the aid of odic power, began to speak through their human instruments, one in this, one in another foreign language, in as many foreign tongues as there were different nations represented among their hearers. From the circumstance that the tongues of God looked like little flames, we see that it was night when God's spirits descended. The actual time of the pouring out of the Spirit was by your method of reckoning 1:30 in the morning. A passage from Revelation will show you that the evil spirit world is equally bound by the laws governing odic phenomena. "And I saw a star that had fallen from heaven to earth. It was given the key to the mouth of the abyss. It opened the mouth of the abyss, and smoke poured out of the mouth, like the smoke of a huge furnace, till the sun and the air were darkened by the smoke from the pit. And out of the smoke came locusts onto the earth." Revelation 9:1-3. The text continues, describing how at God's behest and as a punishment to man, the evil spirits materialize themselves with the aid of the odic force into locusts that, however, had human faces. I cite the foregoing passage only because it expressly mentions the clouds of God that were indispensable for the materialization of these evil spirits. Naturally, all of the many materializations and manifestations of spirits recorded in the Bible had the required amount of odic power available, even if this fact is not expressly stated in each individual case. The sacrificial offerings in the Old Testament were the source from which God's spirits took the odd required to enable them to speak. 90. Among those portions of the Old Testament that are incomprehensible to you are first and foremost the laws of sacrifice of the Israelites. You ask yourselves, rightly enough, how can God, who is the source of all life and happiness, of everything that is good and beautiful, find pleasure in the offering of animals, plants and herbs? Why should he feast on the blood of sacrificial animals, on the steaming fat of bulls, goats and lambs? Why should he delight in the fragrances made from myrrh, cinnamon, calamus, cassia and olive oil? Why should spices be especially attractive to him? It may strike you as childishness for the great God, whom the heavens themselves cannot contain, to have a small, terrestrial tent built for himself, and that he should himself designate and determine each trivial detail, every beam and bolt, every rug and curtain, every garment to be worn by the priests, from their headdress to their underclothes. Does it not in fact smack of human vanity that God should insist on the most precious materials, gold, silver and the most beautiful precious stones, so that the tabernacle and its fittings cost a huge fortune in your money? If you look at these things from a purely human standpoint, they may seem to you unworthy of a God. But once you realize what purpose God was pursuing and understand that this purpose could be achieved only by means of that which seems so incomprehensible to you, you will marvel at His infinite wisdom and love in this also. Unhappily, a knowledge of this purpose is hidden from you humans, although the purpose itself is expressly stated and pointed out to you in the Holy Writ. You have lost the skill of reading the Scriptures thoughtfully. Your eye glances over their contents as it would those of any worldly book. You take what you read in a purely human way. Your worldly-minded spirits cannot discern therein God's mighty doings. Thus they are likewise incapable of grasping the true significance of what you encounter in the physical forms of the tabernacle and the offerings described in the Old Testament. Open your Bible, and I will lead you to an understanding of what it says about the tent of revelation, the tabernacle, and its furnishings, about sacrificial offerings and the priesthood. The sole purpose for which all of those directions were issued is indicated in the words, "There is to be a regular burnt offering made before God from generation to generation at the entrance of the tabernacle, where I will enter into communication with you in order to speak with you. There I will communicate with the children of Israel." Exodus 29:42-43. 91. God's communication with the Israelites was the sole purpose for His building the tabernacle and giving directions regarding sacrificial offerings. You know that every spirit requires terrestrial odic force whenever it desires to communicate with material beings in a manner perceptible to terrestrial senses. This is a God-given law that applies to all spirit beings, from God, the highest spirit, to the lowest spirits of the depths. Whenever, therefore, God Himself, or God's spirits, either at His behest or with His approval, desired to communicate with the Israelites and speak to them, they had to have odd of a suitable kind available. All of the measures taken by Moses at God's command in the erection of the tabernacle and in the presentation of the offerings were designed to procure purest terrestrial odd. As terrestrial beings are bearers of terrestrial odd, and the odd of human beings is a wonderful mixture of the many varieties of the earth's odd, the odd required to enable God to speak with man was drawn from a great variety of earthly sources, including minerals, plants, herbs, trees and animals. Above all, however, it was necessary to ensure that the collected and already prepared pure odd not be contaminated by impure odd radiating from terrestrial matter. That is why all materials used in the construction of the tabernacle and in making its fittings had to be of only the purest odd. Among the minerals, gold, silver and copper possess the purest oddic mixture, as shown by the fact that they do not rust, for rust forms as a result of the absorption of impure odd, which has a destructive effect on any odd it penetrates. The same thing is true of the fabrics that were used, some for the garments of the priests, some for curtains and carpets, and some for covering the roof of the tabernacle. Blue and red, purple, scarlet, and byssus are the fabrics with the purest odic mixture. Therefore the ephod of the high priest, who came the closest to the spirit of God that spoke through the cloud of Od, had to be made of red and blue, purple, scarlet and twisted byssus, interwoven with gold. The breastplate of judgment, worn over the ephod, was made in the same way. In addition, it was adorned with 12 precious stones, for these contain large quantities of the most valuable Od. The outer garment was all of blue-purple, and at the edge of its skirts there were pomegranates of blue and red, purple and scarlet, with little golden bells in between. All these details were of the greatest significance. 92. The underclothes were of byssus, the breeches of pure linen. You also know that clean linen worn next to the body or used for bedding is especially conducive to health. That is because this fabric contains a special and pure Od that imparts itself to your body and exerts a strengthening effect. Of all woods, acacia is the purest and was therefore the only lumber that could be used in the construction of the tabernacle. Also, all the other instructions concerning the composition of the utensils, curtains, carpets, and tent coverings were likewise issued solely to ensure the greatest purity of the Od. You can find them for yourself by consulting the Bible. Everything I have spoken of so far served as a precaution against the contamination of the Od that was being prepared in the shape of an Od cloud forming above the Ark of the Covenant and that was to serve to convey God's words. For the same reason, the priests were required to wash their hands and feet in the water that stood at the entrance to the Holiest of Holies before they went near the Ark of the Covenant. The most important thing, however, was the preparation of the Od itself that, floating as a cloud above the Ark, was required for God to speak to Moses. In this case, the speech was not through a medium, but by direct voice. The spirit sounds were sufficiently condensed by the terrestrial Od of the cloud to make them audible to human ears. As the Bible says, "And when Moses entered the tabernacle, he heard the voice speaking to him from the cover of the Ark of the Covenant, from between the two cherubs, and that is how God spoke to him." Numbers 7, 89. The purpose of the prescribed offerings was the preparation of this Od cloud. You are sufficiently familiar with the fact that blood is the conductor of Od in the physical body. Hence the greatest amount of, and the most soluble, Od is found in the blood, and so the blood is the best source of Od for communicating with the spirit world. And it was only for the sake of obtaining Od that animals were sacrificed, both in the idol worship of the heathens and in the divine service of the Jews. The blood was poured on the altar, and some of the meat, particularly the fat, the kidneys and the liver, was disintegrated into Od by being burned, for, next to the blood, these parts are richest in Od. By means of the offerings to their idols, the heathens prepared Od for communicating with evil spirits. In God's tabernacle, the preparation of Od was undertaken to make it possible for God and his higher spirits to 93. Communicate with the people of Israel, as witness the words spoken by God to Moses. The priest is to sprinkle the blood on the altar at the Lord at the entrance of the tabernacle, burning the fat to rise as a sweet smell for the Lord. They shall no longer offer their sacrificial animals to the evil spirits whose idol worship they are now practicing. Leviticus 17, 6-7. Since the Od cloud above the Ark of the Covenant represented the purest mixture of terrestrial Od, only those animals whose Od was of the purest kind were allowed to be slaughtered. So-called unclean animals were not allowed to be used as sacrificial animals. The animals regarded as unclean in the Bible are those that have the lowest and most impure Od of any creatures whose flesh could conceivably serve as human food. This is also why the people were forbidden to eat the flesh of unclean animals. Because of its impure Od, it was harmful first of all for the human body. Your physicians know well enough that eating pork is not to be recommended, especially for growing children. What you call scrofula would scarcely be found among children if they were denied pork, which is not wholesome even for adults if it forms a substantial part of the daily diet. There was, however, another reason for forbidding the Jews to eat the flesh of unclean beasts. You know that any impure Od that may be present in a person offers a dangerous opening to the evil spirit world to influence him negatively in a lasting way. Impure Od is the breath of life of the evil spirits, and whenever they find someone whose Od is like their own, They can very readily not only influence his thoughts and imagination, but also arouse his physical passions to a dangerous pitch. A person whose odd is pure is not easily accessible to evil, which is kept from direct contact by the radiation of his pure odd. For evil can no more bear pure odic radiation than a person whose eyes are afflicted can bear strong light.